Coming up later in the broadcast, we'll talk about some of the riders that the performers have for Taste of Chicago, who's getting paid what, and some outlandish and outrageous riders from the past. Those are always fun to see what these coddled celebrities are able to get away with. I like that. We'll have some stories of a wild snack food and a new policy at one of my favorite locations to curb people's enthusiasm for said snack food. Amy Mills, one of the authors of Praise the Lard, she and her father, Mike Mills, run 17th Street Barbecue in Murfreesboro, Illinois. They have the new book, Praise the Lard. They have another book, and they are going to be in town next weekend for the Windy City Smokeout. So we'll talk to Amy about barbecue, how she became the heiress of barbecue, and the book, and the big event that's coming up next week with 20 of the country's leading pitmasters, a lot of country music, and big time at the Windy City Smokeout. So we'll get to all that, and we'll squeeze in some Florida news, too. Why not? And we'll be amazed at the lack of intellect of Jeopardy contestants. That all sounds pretty good. Yesterday, you know, was the big march on the Dan Ryan. Now, I was in Friday for Ro and Anna, and we were talking about that. Well, the march came off. And when I say without a hitch, I mean nobody was hurt, thank God. Nobody was arrested. You know, people on the Dan Ryan were inconvenienced, which that's what protests do. They cause an inconvenience. But the big question is, I'm wondering what comes next now. We need to now, you know, we've had the protest, which I'm all in favor of. I can't believe that the governor decided yesterday, because you followed the news, so you know there was supposedly a deal in place where the protests were going to stay in two lanes, and then traffic was going to stay in two lanes. Well, so many people showed up, and these were people not just from the neighborhoods down there by St. Sabina's or on the south side. These were people from all over, young, old, all different races. A lot of people showed up, thousands, for this march. So there were too many people, and they were talking to the state police saying, hey, we got to take over the whole thing. We got to push it out. So closed down the whole expressway for about an hour and a half. It was a major traffic hassle, no two ways about it, but it sent the message, I think, that the organizers were trying to send. So, you know, the march comes off. The governor starts tweeting, and this is why... I think we need to take Twitter away from all elected officials, all of them, both parties, all branches of government. I don't care if it's your local dog catcher. I don't care if it's somebody from the, the sanitation committee. No, nobody in public office should have Twitter because it's so easy to just tweet out whatever pops into your little mind. And there it goes. So I'm calling for a government moratorium on Twitter. Now, that is not to say that a metropolitan area, like the city of Chicago, can have Twitter if they need to send out emergency notifications. Police and fire departments, of course, they can have Twitter. The National Weather Service, of course, can have Twitter. I'm talking about individual government officials. If your name was on a ballot, you immediately lose Twitter till you're out of office. That's the way it goes. If you are elected, you don't get Twitter. You need to go through the filters of the old days where you had to talk to your press people or your communications director and say, you know what I think? I think it's crazy. And they go, you know what, sir and or madam? That's probably not the best stance to take right now. Maybe hold off. How about this? Go have lunch. Think about it. I'll draft a message based on what you just told me. And then when you come back, you can read it. And if you still like it, then we'll go with it. If not, maybe we reconfigure what's happening. I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful way to go. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is now. So the governor gets on Twitter, and he tweets, "This is unacceptable. We had clear parameters that allowed the protesters to be heard while respecting law and order. Instead, they chose to cause chaos." I guess if we want to go, the really specific definition of chaos, we could. However, everything seemed pretty orderly. Did it create traffic chaos? Yeah, okay. But people weren't running around. There was no looting. People weren't trashing things. Then he decided the governor can't just leave it at that. He's going to come up. He's going after the mayor. "I'm disappointed in the mayor," he tweeted. "There was an agreement in place. I am calling on the mayor to take swift and decisive action to put an end to this kind of chaos. I will work with him in good faith and urge him to do his job so that the people of Chicago feel safe. I'm wondering how many people didn't feel safe during that march yesterday. Probably the first people who walked onto the Dan Ryan did not feel safe, but I don't know if it impacted the safety of the city. It inconvenienced people, but it didn't make them feel it didn't make them feel unsafe. Cody, you were in town yesterday. You feel unsafe?
I was in town. I didn't feel unsafe.
Okay, just checking.
I'm reminded of my wife and I went to O'Hare back when the immigration ban was first announced.
Yes.
Remember the protests out at O'Hare? Dude, the cops outnumbered the people like 3-1.
Yeah.
Chicago, the city of Chicago is never going to let a protest get out of control.
No, they
we live in a police state, in a way.
Well, when we need to be.
I mean,
there were the what was the big thing a few years ago?
No one in Chicago is going to be flipping cars. Okay, the city of Chicago has an ironclad grip on protests.
Well,
I think
you were very young. You forget the Bulls championships when cars were getting flipped and set on fire.
Sure,
things can get out of control pretty quick.
Sure, that was 20 years ago, but the police presence is pretty hard to miss at protests these days.
Well, sure. The police presence is there. That doesn't mean that things can jump off. I think then they will be squelched pretty quickly.
I think they'll be squelched pretty quickly.
But yesterday, nothing jumped off that wasn't expected. Everybody has known for weeks that this march was coming. CPD quickly passed the buck and said, well, you know, once they walk out of the expressway, that's the state police. We have nothing to do with it. It's like, okay, go ahead. But nothing happened. That was it. So Rauner goes after the mayor. The mayor, of course, this is the mayor defaulted to what would be in comedy circles the hack response for a critical tweet against you. Delete your account. Now you're a social media guru, aren't you, Cody? That's kind of delete your account is kind of the lazy fallback to go after. So he said, I will give the whole tweet. It was a peaceful protest. Delete your account.
That's kind of a meme.
But
almost. It's like an online idiom.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like go pound sand, but the internet version. It's a saying. It's common. It's not reinventing the wheel to say delete your account.
No, it's not at all. That's what I mean. There's no original thought.
No, it's traditional.
There's no original thought.
But I don't know. I wouldn't be too critical of that. Using online nomenclature.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. It was the hip thing to do.
It's the hip thing to do.
I just, you know, come hard. He came at you hard. Go back hard.
Yeah.
He's Rahm Emanuel. That was his rep. You got to go back hard. I'm glad the march went off without a hitch. I'm glad they were able to take over the entire northbound lanes for that little bit. I know it caused inconvenience to people. But you know what? As I mentioned the other day, people who live in neighborhoods filled with crime, where kids are getting shot, they suffer inconvenience all the time. So for motorists yesterday, whether they're from this area or they were just passing through, you know what? You live with it. It was over. After an hour and a half or so, you got through that traffic and you were able to go on about your day. The people who did the march had to go back there. And so it came off. But now we just have to keep going. Now you've got to take the attention, you've got to take the words, and you have to get into action. And that means the community and the city and all the different agencies of the city have to work together and try to figure out what to do. And the most obvious one is to go after gangs, start targeting the gangs first. And we've had this conversation with the superintendent before. Eddie Johnson has said they know a certain number of people. So, okay, the police are doing their jobs. They're out on the front line having a hard time. Let's shift the focus a little bit. There was just a story in the paper yesterday about somebody, a guy who was convicted of another gun charge, getting out early on low bail. Can't happen. We have the strictest gun control law, so that's not the problem. Okay, it's not that the police aren't out there trying their hardest. It's that some of these guys are getting right back out. It's a revolving door, so we have to start there. Then we have to start looking at other avenues. We have to start looking at jobs. We have to start looking at education. We have to start looking at different programs. Because the march yesterday is not going to change things. But if the march yesterday advances a discussion that could lead to change, then it was all worth it. And it was worth you or me having to sit in traffic for a little while. You know, it was crazy. I had left. You know, I love my wife. Sometimes she doesn't know the traffic patterns or is worried about, because we had to be somewhere yesterday morning. We had to be somewhere by 11. Back at my old place, we used to have to take the Ryan all the time. Well, now we live somewhere else. We don't take the Ryan anymore. But my wife's like, are we going to have to be on the Ryan? We'll have to find an alternate route. I was like, no, we don't have to find an alternate route. We're coming. We had to find an alternate route than the Eisenhower, because that was all screwed up, but that's always screwed up. So it went pretty well. So, all right, that's enough of that. After the news, we're going to talk a little bit about New York City and, oh, my goodness, really, post office? Can we pay a little closer attention? We'll do all of that after Pam's news has come your way in a couple minutes on WGN. You're living color. Pretty likes to rock after he's been gone for... Well, you weren't here last week either, were you? Did you have last week off, or did you work with whoever was in for me?
I don't know what happened last week. I wasn't here.
You weren't here?
No.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't know. I know I was not here. I was in New York City for the second time in a month. That's two times too many for that close proximity of time to be in New York.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, I came back the first time, and I was kind of giddy with, you know, some revelations that things were not as bad in New York as I thought. And I will say, I'll stand behind my statement that the people are much nicer than I thought they would be. So, kudos to you, citizens of New York City, Manhattan, and Brooklyn especially, since those are the only two boroughs I really delved into. But other than that, boy, I've realized there's no chance I would want to live there. Never. There's too many people. It's too closed in. You used the term claustrophobic. I believe that was very good. It took me, as we left Manhattan the other morning, and I couldn't have been happier, not because I was leaving my daughter. I was, you know, I wasn't sad that we were leaving Molly. This time I was very excited. I was like, good, see you later. I don't have to drive back out here with your stuff anymore. That's perfect. So we were leaving, and to get out of Brooklyn into lower Manhattan was 3 miles from Molly's apartment to the Manhattan Bridge to go across. Took me an hour and a half to go 3 miles. Hour and a half. Insanity. Then to go another mile, across lower Manhattan was another like 20 minutes. This is probably a sentence nobody has ever uttered before. I couldn't have been happier to get into New Jersey. That was, oh man, I came out of the Holland Tunnel and it was as if I had been born again into a land of industrial waste and unusual smells, and yet roads that were free of constant congestion. And you could actually see for a while. You know, you weren't just in these valleys of buildings. Now, I will say, there's, you know, being in Manhattan is pretty cool. If you've never been there, you get to go see. We saw the City Hall and the courthouses that you see in all the movies and stuff. Countless Law and Order battles have been fought on the stairs of these courthouses, you know. Greed with Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas. All the famous movies there. So that was kind of neat as we drove into Manhattan on Saturday morning. And here's how I got confused, because we drove in to Manhattan and then into Brooklyn earlier, or Saturday afternoon last week. So traffic a little bit lighter. And when I say a little bit lighter, that means it only took me an hour to go 3 miles instead of an hour and a half. So you can imagine my just shock at the excess leisure time I had after that drive. I will go back to visit. I will never again drive my car there. Never. Thank goodness. Our hotel had, and this is unheard of. This is another thing. Kudos to, I'm going to give them a plug, because, you know, I paid my bill already. Doesn't matter. The Best Western Plus Arena Hotel in Brooklyn had free parking. Free parking, Cody, in a secured lot. Not just like, yeah, you can park under the viaduct over there and hope that nobody turns your car into like a flop house. Uh-uh. No. This is like a gated lot.
In New York City.
New York. Well, Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I don't believe you.
Well, why wouldn't you believe me? Why would I lie about that?
I don't know.
I have so many other things to lie about. We've got another 2 hours and 23 minutes. I've got plenty of lies to spread.
I don't know what agenda. I don't know what agenda you're trying to push.
Of course you know what agenda I have. To say the opposite of what is true.
That is my
agenda.
That's true.
For all things. So it was quite a weekend. It was 99 degrees when we began unloading Molly's car the first. Now, you see, you've moved in the city before, so you know how to do this. I have never moved in an urban area. I have always moved out in the suburbs where you just kind of pull your truck up in front of your house or your apartment building, and then you leisurely take things out, and you don't need a sentry standing by the car so that gangs of looters don't come by and strip the car and everything in it. We had three of us, which should have been enough. One to stand at the car, and two to scurry things in. Well, Molly's apartment is, you've seen the original Rocky, haven't you?
Yeah.
All right. You know the staircase that Mickey has to climb to get to Rocky's apartment when, not in the townhouse where he lives later, but there was, you know, the gym stairway.
Mm-hmm.
That really steep, narrow stairway.
Yeah.
That's what I had to climb with all Molly's stuff. And we started, made the mistake of starting to just unload and putting stuff in outside of the door, because there's a door, then there's a square little foyer, and then you go up this unbelievable staircase, only to make a hard right-angle turn to go the last three stairs into her apartment.
What's the heaviest thing you had to move?
Heaviest thing was the box containing the foam mattress. That was pretty heavy. The frame for said mattress was pretty heavy.
Okay, so no major furniture, though.
No. The there was a box for a vanity that I had to put together, so that was kind of heavy. And a suitcase that we brought, imagine the biggest suitcase you know, almost the size of a steamer trunk, filled to capacity, and, like, if we were flying with that suitcase, it would have cost us $378 to check that bag. That's how heavy this bag was. And I had to get that one up the stairs. Now, you know, I did it. I'm never doing it again. I said to Molly, you know what's nice, Molly? Your next move, you can do it all by yourself. Well, who's going to help me? I said, you'll have friends. Or you'll have money to hire movers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be cool. And you could, you know, wherever your next apartment is. And then Mom and I can just come and visit. And that'll be terrific. And she was all hurt. Well, you're not going to help me move? Nope. Oh, my mom and dad didn't come and help me move after, you know, once I left the house. That's, you're on your own. You're a grown woman.
I had lived in the city 5 years, maybe four before I called it. Yeah. No more moving. I'm just calling a moving company.
Yes.
Get two men in a truck, Elite Moving, you know, whatever
right.
It is. Just a couple $100.
It's so worth
it. They handle all of it. It is so worth it.
The last move we did by ourselves was when we were first married, we lived in an apartment. And so from our apartment to our first house, we did ourselves with the help of friends. And that was when I said, no, never again.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and I wasn't that old at the time, but, you know, you get all your friends over, and one of my buddies sat down on something, and a screw went right into his backside.
Oh.
Yeah, it was not fun. And then you're paying, you know, people want, oh, where's the beer and the pizza? No, we got to work first. And you don't want to yet, like, if a mover drops something and breaks it, you're covered. And you can say, oh, well, you guys have to replace that. If your buddy breaks something, he's working for free, so you can't really yell at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we stopped. And now she'll stop too. And so, but it's done. Her apartment was very nice. Her neighborhood is sketchy at best. Here's the deal. And you know this from living in Chicago or any major city. You live where you can afford. And if you want, you can tell things are, gentrifying a little bit. It's a nice, there's a lot of stuff around. She's right on a busy street. She lives on a busy street, and she's right near a busy street. She's only got to walk two blocks to the subway, and it's one train to work. So it's perfect. Her landlord has completely redone this apartment, so it's very nice. The two women who she's living with seemed very nice. And you can see some other buildings around are starting to, you know, they're putting money into them to improve them. So it's nice. It's going to be fine. I will say, Crown Chicken and Fried Pizza right around the corner. Fried chicken and pizza. Yeah. It was about, now imagine when it's 100 degrees outside and you walk out of a place and go, whew, what a nice breeze. That's how hot it was inside Crown Pizza and Fried Chicken.
Oh, no.
Well, because they're cooking. Not only do they have these giant pizza ovens going, then they've got deep fryers going and a griddle going. And they were just generating. I think they were responsible for, if you believe, the ozone layer being depleted. They were, a good chunk of it was because of Crown Pizza and Fried Chicken.
Even if their air conditioning had been broken. We went to an ice cream place the Saturday of that weekend.
Yeah.
I went with, my brother was in town. Some people were in town probably 9 at night.
Yeah.
Right on Broadway, and air conditioning was busted. We were dying inside, and they were making ice cream.
We did that a couple of years ago during a heat wave. We went to a yogurt place up near, I don't know, on Chicago Avenue somewhere. One of those places where you put in all your time. Same thing. We walked in, and the air conditioner's broken, and the yogurt is coming out of the machines like water. I'm like, we have to go.
We're
not staying here.
Yeah, I was surprised. Saturday night, my whole family was in town. We were doing some stuff. We're downtown. Every single place to eat had a 2-hour wait.
Really?
And I know it's a Saturday during the summer.
I get it.
It's tourist season because my wife's yelling at me. She's like, of course, it's the summertime. I'm like, yeah, I know.
But any Saturday night, you got to wait.
But it's like, when it's that hot, I at least think sometimes when the heat index is like 100 degrees and it's humid
right.
and it's oppressively hot and there's an extreme heat warning, maybe some people want to just stay at home and maybe order in or bask in the air conditioning.
If you're in town, if this is your weekend to come in for vacation, screw it. You're going out in the heat. You don't care.
I think it was downtown. I think if we'd gone further north, maybe we would have had better luck.
Sure.
But yeah.
No, you got. How do you not know that? How do you not know that people are going to be out on a Saturday night?
You know, Brian, don't tell my wife you said that.
I had to wait at the Shake Shack in Brooklyn Saturday night. And this was at like 9 o'clock p.m. because there was, it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn. And I was at Target and Shake Shack. That's how I roll.
Wow.
When I go visit another city.
You went as suburban as possible.
In the most urban setting, I found the most... Here's how I could have gone more suburban. There was a Chili's in the little mall across... It's across from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where the Nets play and stuff. So there's like a Best Buy and a Target and all kinds of stuff. Marshalls, things like that. There was a Chili's in there. That would have been... the ultimate suburban move. I justified Shake Shack because it started in New York. And the beer was from Brooklyn Brewery. It was exclusive to Shake Shack.
Okay.
So I went, okay. Plus, I had been driving for 14 hours. I had just unpacked a car and walked up, these crazy narrow steps. I was pretty much done. So just for me to be able to go and wander about Target and then walk a couple blocks to Shake Shack and sit down and eat a burger and not kill everybody in sight, I'd go with that. Because I couldn't have waited anywhere for a couple hours. Molly had a couple... She had come up with a couple nice options for us. I found this place and this place, and they all looked terrific. But then she and Debbie both said, I could just kind of go for a burger. I said, it's right here. Let's just go here and have a burger. And then we can start this whole nightmare over tomorrow.
Well, at least you got in somewhere. My brother-in-law lives on Manhattan Island.
Yes.
And we stayed with him for a night last summer, traveling somewhere. And we went to, I woke up in the morning, I went to a bagel place to get coffee.
Sure.
They had a sign on the door. There was some explosion in a pipe or something, and they had to close at 1, and there was no hot coffee. They went down the block to a deli kind of place, and I asked if they had, I don't remember, a bagel or something, and they're like, no, the food truck that was supposed to deliver our food this morning broke down or never showed up or something, so their supply chain was kaput.
Oh, nice.
And the previous night later that night, we went to a fish place, and it was like a fish place, and we walk in, and we sit down, and then the server comes over and says, I'm so sorry, but a pipe just burst in the ceiling in the kitchen, so we have to close the restaurant. We had just sat down.
It all sounds very...
Then we went two doors down to another, crawfish place. I don't know if they were all fish places, but some other place two doors down, and the lady comes over, the server comes over. There's probably 12 different sandwiches on the menu. She goes, oh, just so you know, we're out of this. There are all but three.
You can get a peanut butter and jelly or a grilled cheese. Those are your options, and they're both $29.50.
Seriously.
So enjoy yourself.
Seriously, all but three items. And so my impression of Manhattan, at least, and that's not where you were.
No, I was in Manhattan on Monday. Oh, all day Monday in Manhattan.
Sure, but I guess in part of New York City as a whole is just their infrastructure. How could any infrastructure sustain that ridiculous population density?
You can't. That's why everywhere you go, there's piles of garbage everywhere.
Oh,
because,
man,
there's no alleys, so the garbage is all just in front of the building.
Yeah.
We were unpacking Molly's stuff, and we said to our roommates, where do we put these boxes? I don't know, just go throw them on the curb. Well, I'm thinking, that can't be right. Until I walked outside, that was exactly right. There was garbage everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's awful.
Just piled up. Then I'm leaving with the car on Sunday night, and people were just blowing up fireworks in the middle of the street. Just running out in traffic and setting off these giant fireworks.
To be fair, that's what Chicagoans do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hearing fireworks a week before and a week after the 4th of July.
So the fireworks were normal. We did a couple touristy things. We went to the Empire State Building, which was fun.
Mm.
Here's another tip. Pay the, like, 15 extra bucks and get the VIP. Only because, well, one, you know I like to be a VIP.
Sure.
You don't have to. Even when I'm in a place where I want to be amongst the huddled masses, I don't want to be amongst the huddled masses. So when you buy the VIP for the Empire State Building, it just means you get on express elevators. So you're not waiting in line for a half hour just to get on the elevator. So to me, it was worth every penny of the little bit extra to zip up to the top, spent about a half hour up there looking around, saw the museum, very interesting. We saw that. We saw, I took Debbie because she hadn't been to Ground Zero, which is always moving.
Mm.
And then you also look at the monuments. And it's amazing, just from a purely architectural standpoint, and I equated it to what's going to happen near our old building, such a small footprint for such a giant structure. It amazes me, engineering and architectural minds that can create things that are so huge on such a small space. So we saw that, and then we went back to Greenwich Village to have pizza again. This is all I've eaten since I've eaten at bodegas, bagel sandwiches at a bodega. I've eaten Shake Shack twice in my two visits, and I've eaten at John's Pizza on Bleecker Street twice. I need to expand a little bit next time I'm in New York.
Would you call it a bodegal sandwich?
It could have been a bodegal sandwich. Mr. Bodegal, and then I danced. Know the song? You don't know the song. Mr.
Nope.
Bojangles, you'll have to look it up.
I'll find it during the break.
Bump with it. So we did that. We went to, have you ever heard of Big Gay Ice Cream?
No.
It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a shop. It's an ice cream shop. And people are, you know, it's in Greenwich Village. And, you know, their logo is like a unicorn. It's Big Gay Ice Cream. I don't think I have to explain what the message is at Big Gay Ice Cream. Does it make me a bad advocate to say that the ice cream was just eh?
No.
I expected, when I went to Big Gay Ice Cream, like some crazy festive sundaes and some wild flavors of ice cream. No, I didn't know. I've seen people post pictures of it, and it was fine. It was a pleasant time. I'm glad I went. It was cool to be there. The people who worked there and the customers, there was a really nice vibe. But the ice cream was basically soft serve.
Do you know the creepiest thing that's ever happened? I just turned to my left and the door was just cracked open and Roger was just standing there staring with his mouth open and this weird, like, kind of clown grin. And I might have peed a little.
You piddled?
Yeah.
Wow.
A little bit. I might have to.
Well, I would call HR first thing tomorrow.
That was.
And say that you've been harassed to the point where your bladder lost all strength.
Why did that happen? And now he's gone. I don't know where he went. Is he the ghost of Tribune?
No, because he's
just.
We love him, but he's a weirdo, and he loves to just come in and freak everybody out. They gotta take care of his card.
I gotta get a lock for this door.
Well, just put something up there. Just. Like pile thing, move the couch over in front of it. Just push the couch up on the door.
Oh, there's the couch.
Yeah, there's a couch back there.
The producer couch. Yeah, which
again, I don't understand why there's a couch in there.
I think I do. There's some videos. I'll send you links later.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what shows?
Not of this. I don't think there's shows.
Not of this.
You
show.
No, we should break.
All right. Yeah, I know. We should. So all right. So if you're in New York, I can't recommend a lot of places to go eat. I can recommend three. I can recommend and the bodega at the corner where near where I stayed. I can recommend that hotel for free parking. All right, let's.
I can recommend one place in Brooklyn, actually, but I got to look it up over the break.
All right, look it up over a break. Somebody told me about another place in Brooklyn with good pizza, but then I immediately forgot the name of it. So that won't help me. All right, speaking of New York and speaking of the government, which we were earlier with the peace march yesterday, boy, the post office screwed the pooch. And we will let it off the leash and tell you how. After this, WGN. It's going to take us a while to get to the chorus that will make sense of the comment that I made.
Well, I thought we'd talk over it, you know, in a very...
I knew a man, Bojangles.
There, he said Bojangles.
He danced for you.
Already.
Sammy.
Didn't take that long.
Sammy Davis Jr., man.
In worn out shoes.
Cool.
It's so a ragged shirt.
Beautiful song.
Baggy pants. The old soft shoe.
He would do the
old soft shoe.
Soft shoe.
Not enough of our Vegas lounge act. Bright and Cody late night at the Sands. We went out after the Rat Pack. We would redo all their songs in a really horrific way. They would bring down the house. People would come into the lounge and we would redo the show just in the worst possible way. We would do bad impressions. I would drink a lot of Jack Daniels. And Cody would pop out his glass eye, like Sammy.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I can do that.
It was fun.
I found my Brooklyn recommendation.
Did you? What's your Brooklyn recommendation?
Real quick, it's in a neighborhood called Williamsburg.
Oh, sure, on the north side.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah, beautiful.
Very, very hip, trendy,
yes.
Up and coming.
Not up and coming. It's there.
It's pretty there.
It's there.
Sweet Chick.
Sweet Chick?
It has some of the best chicken and waffles I've ever had.
Is that right?
Unbelievable, and it's like a whiskey bar. But it also it's got a full stock bar. We went in, so we sat at the bar, and they had these chicken and waffles that just blew my mind.
Really?
It felt so New York.
Okay.
You know, the bartender's this big, tall, good-looking black guy with dreadlocks and a bunch of tattoos, and just the coolest dude, and like very diverse crowd, just from like every neighborhood, it seemed like.
Nice.
And, you know, some of the people got their little laptops out there working, everyone else is making business deals, probably signing contracts. It just felt very New York, you know.
Sweet Chick in Brooklyn.
Yes, yeah, right. You've got to go. I mean, usually we've heard it's like a couple-hour wait, but if Molly's got a day off.
Do they serve pizza or hamburgers?
You know, I got to double-check on that.
Probably can't eat there then.
Fried chicken. Do you like chicken and waffles?
I don't know if I've ever had a real when we went out for was it Easter brunch?
Easter brunch, yeah.
They had a version of chicken and waffles. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
but
the bite size.
I've never been to a chicken and waffle place.
We've got to go to Batter and Berry's.
All right.
It's on Lincoln Avenue in Lincoln Park.
Before a show.
Unbelievable.
Should we brunch? Can we brunch there before a show? Perhaps have a mimosa or eight?
They've also usually got about a 2-hour wait. So if we can get in, let's do it.
Let's go early. We'll bring the ladies.
We can go.
We'll sit. Do I need to put on a fake beard so I look more hipstery?
Nah.
Do I need to bring a can of PBR in a brown paper bag?
No. This is in Lincoln Park.
Or Lincoln Park.
Yeah, not Wicker Park. Park.
All the parks seem the same.
Yeah, that's a good place.
I like to hang out in the park.
If you're in Chicago, Batter and Berry's, though.
Batter and Berry's for chicken and waffles. All right. I also have to go I have to go to Peter Luger next time I'm in Brooklyn.
What's Peter Luger?
It's like the steakhouse.
Oh.
But I got to mortgage the house first. Maybe sell the car or a kidney. Either way, it's going to be fun. We wanted to go see the Statue of Liberty, but since you cannot, to go through the National Park Service, you need to buy tickets like months in advance to get over to take the ferry to Ellis Island and then Liberty Island, see the Statue of Liberty. We saw it from a distance, and it's still very impressive. You know where it's not impressive? On the new Statue of Liberty forever stamp, because the post office is, their attention to detail is lacking. Can we say that? I think we can. A judge has ordered the U.S. Postal Service to pay $3.5 million to the sculptor of a Statue of Liberty replica at the New York Casino in Las Vegas, which, sadly, a lot of people believe that once they've seen that Statue of Liberty, they've seen the Statue of Liberty, and they don't have to go to the real one because it's, it's so close. Well, turns out, it's so close that the people who were designing the post office, the stamp for the post office, couldn't tell the difference either. Oh, my goodness. Yes, an image of the replica was mistakenly used on a stamp. The sculptor's name is Robert Davidson, and he sued the Postal Service for copyright infringement over the forever stamp that was released in 2011. It took a while, but the judge, the verdict is in, and the post office who are always crying that they don't have enough money. Now they're done. Stamp feeds your defense. Leave it at this. Here's something you never, some adjectives you never thought would describe the Statue of Liberty. Fresh-faced, sultry, and sexy. Those are descriptors of me.
If you think freedom is sexy, am I right?
Oh, and we are. Do we have a break before the news?
No, we are just doing the news.
Then I guess we're just going to do the news. Just a quick programming note. As you know, I've been in a lot this week. I was in for John Williams and then Rowan Anna a couple days. I will be joining Wendy Snyder Wednesday morning from 10 until noon, and then the bonus hour on the stream. That's right, Cody. I get to go on the stream from noon to 1, so I'll be with Wendy Snyder on Wednesday morning from 10 until 1 right here on WGN. You don't want to miss it. Listen, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. You may think, I could probably live if I missed it. You can't. You're gonna miss it. Coming up later this week, of course, it is the Taste of Chicago. You excited about the Taste of Chicago, Cody? Eating overpriced food in the heat on the blacktop in the park?
No.
You're not excited about it?
I went once. That was enough.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been. I say this every year. I haven't been since I was in college. And I only went because the young lady I was dating wanted to go, and we went with a friend of mine and his young lady, and it was a disaster, and I've never been back.
I've heard it's gotten a lot better.
I should give it a chance.
Yeah.
I should. But you know me. I hold grudges.
Sure.
And it's not that I have a grudge against Taste of Chicago. I just, you know, it's like, I got to get down here. I got to walk around. I got to do math. I got to have tickets. So it starts on Wednesday. It runs through July 15th in Grant Park from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Now, people say it's good to go like early, so before the big lunch rush, and avoid it on the weekends. But it's Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 9, both days next weekend, so 10 a.m. It's in Grant Park. It's been there since 1981. Free to get in, of course. You'll need food and beverage tickets. 14 tickets go for $10. 14 tickets for $10. But then you got to do all the high end math to figure out what something costs. Everybody's got a lot of places have the taste portion or a full portion. They've got different kinds of things. There's concerts at the Petrillo Music Shell every day at 5:30. Headliners include Brandi Carlile, Yasiin Bey, and Talib Kweli with Black Star. I apologize. I looked at this list. I don't know most of the people on this list. And that just means I'm old and out of touch. And that's fine, because we're going to talk more about them, the headliners, in a minute. So you can buy tickets for a seat. You can see the concerts for free if you want from Butler Field. You can just hang out. But you can buy tickets which range from $18 to $50. So if you want to be up close to perhaps see the Martha Redbone Roots Project, who is another one of the performers. So, and George, now this is the one I knew, George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. They're on July 15th. BJ, the Chicago Kid, and the Boy Illinois are opening for them. Unfortunately, I am not familiar with the work of BJ, the Chicago Kid, or the Boy Illinois. I'm sure they're wonderful. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. See, this is the other thing. This is the other problem I have with Taste of Chicago. Not that these aren't fantastic performers. And they do represent a wide variety of musical styles and tastes, which I think is important. But coming off 2 weeks up in Milwaukee of Summerfest, where they have top-tier entertainment all the time, I'm like, they're Milwaukee. We should be, you know, Milwaukee's a fine city. But come on, we should be able to do something a little better. I mean, we have all these concert venues around, but how about something? Let's bring back Chicago Fest. You're too young for Chicago to remember Chicago Fest. It was fantastic. They used to have it at Navy Pier before Navy Pier was cool. When Navy Pier was just a dump, every year they'd bring, you know, they'd set up stages and do bands all up and down. And then the point of pride was Chicago Fest. And anybody my age or around there is going to remember the point of pride at Chicago Fest was to stack up all your empty beer cups. And you would carry them throughout the day. So by the end of the day, if you had like a stack of 20 beer cups, that meant one, you really shouldn't be driving home. Two, you were probably broke. And three, you were hammered beyond repair. This was back in the days of like jean cutoffs and stuff. And guys would be they'd be waving their Chicago Fest mugs around. And it had a nice big, there was like a musical note coming out of waves. That was kind of the logo. Oh, it was fantastic. But that's not the case. So Taste of Chicago, starting Wednesday, very exciting. Here's the deal. The city is denying some of the performers, some of the things in their riders. Now, if you're not familiar with concert riders, it's what bands tell the venues that they need in order to perform. And it usually has nothing, it has nothing to do with the contract that about the speakers and the electrical needs and the union represent. Nothing to do with the actual concert. The riders are what the performers need to feel pampered in the backstage area, in their dressing room or dressing rooms. And they'll put a variety of things on, and we're going to get to some of the most ridiculous things that musicians have demanded at their concerts in a moment. But I saw this in the Trib about the city. Now, the city will not give any of the performers alcohol. So if their rider usually says, and we'll see some who ask for these kind of things, like a 12-pack of nice local beer, let's say. Well, the city crosses that off. Nope, you don't get any beer. We don't give you any beer. We don't do any of that. Now, I am going to, I know I'm going to mispronounce some of these musician names. I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm not doing it to be funny. I don't know who some of these people are. So, hip hoppers, and that's not me saying hip hoppers because that could not be a more jive way to describe them. That was reading right from the Trib. Yasiin Bey and Talib Kweli are making $100,000. To headline Taste of Chicago, performing as Black Star. But they don't get their infant rehydration powder or cookies. These are some of the things that they asked for. According to the group's contract, they want Pedialyte and Pepperidge Farm cookies. Three packages of Pepperidge Farm cookies. Soft bake, Sausalitos, macadamia, and Chessmen varieties. I don't think Chessmen come in soft bake. First of all. But the city is saying no. You can't have your three packages of cookies. You also cannot have your strawberry lemonade flavored Pedialyte. Why do you need... I guess, you know why you put these in the riders? Because you can get it. That's why. If I were a big musical act and somebody's willing to do this stuff for me, yeah, okay, sure. Put down that I need Pedialyte. Because I tend to get a little dehydrated during the show. And Pedialyte, I need my electrolytes jacked. You know, my buddy's over here eating Sausalito cookies. That doesn't work for me. I need to pump up the electrolytes. And not just any Pedialyte, and it can't be pre-mixed. I want to mix it myself with my special room temperature water that's also in the contract. The water has to be 73.8 degrees. If it's 73.7, 73.9, I walk. You're out of luck. There's no hipping, no hopping that night. Neither one. Not doing anything. It's amazing. The taste, as I mentioned, doesn't give booze to the musical acts, which I think is a mistake. You know, if you're going to do all this, if somebody's asking for outlandish things, spoiler alert, Kanye, which we'll get to, then maybe you cracked out. But if somebody's going, we would like a bottle of wine and a 12-pack of beer. And six cans of Coke. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Or ask your agent to go to 7-Eleven.
Well, you could do that too, but when you're a big musical star, you don't do that. When you're making $100K to come in and, you know, blow the roof off the park for an hour and a half, you're used to people doing that stuff for you. Brandi Carlile. Not Belinda Carlile. She was with the Go-Go's. She's not... She's not playing Taste. This is in 1989. It's, you know, it's, what's it, 2018? 2018, yes. Brandi Carlile usually wants four small bottles of Gatorade, no purple, and a case of local microbrews, no more than six IPAs. I love how particular some of these requests are. And we say that mockingly, but if you and I go to the store, we're particular about what we buy. You know, like I wouldn't want any Gatorade in my backstage area because I don't like Gatorade.
Is it a euphemism?
No, that's a straight up beverage choice right there. Nothing. Now here's a guy. Do you have that song ready?
Oh, I will.
All right, we'll take a break because this is a guy I had not heard of. He's making $112,500 for playing a taste. And I'll tell you what he wanted that the city would not give him. And then we'll get into some of these ridiculous demands. And can you tell me why one of these acts is making so much less than another? So many questions. We'll try to figure out the answers after this on WGN. Try to find it. We're trying to play Juanez. I have never heard of Juanez. But he is, as I said, he is taking home $112,500 for his performance at Taste of Chicago. And he was denied a request, too. The city, man, the city is cracking down on these poor, poor musical acts who only want to entertain you and have something to drink and enjoy themselves. And yet, the city is not allowing them to their full potential anyway. No, not at all. He wanted 4 confetti blowers and 40 pounds of red confetti for the special effects, as well as 36 bottles of extremely cold good beer. No Newcastle, Budweiser, Coors, or Miller, which are all fine beers. I don't know why he's, you know, why he's being that way, but okay, he doesn't want. But either way, he's going to have to bring the beer himself because the city said no. And here's what shocked me the most. Because as I said, now I will freely admit that I am out of touch musically. So I know George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. They've been around a long time. They're classics. Classics. And yet they are only making $45,000 for their performance at Taste of Chicago. Now, I know to most of us, $45,000 for one night of work, that's a lot of money. But you've got George Clinton, and you've got all the members of Parliament Funkadelic, and you've got their crew. That 45 grand doesn't go that far. It just seemed odd to me. But, you know, I guess you get paid what you can command, and that's what they can command. Now, it didn't say what George Clinton wanted. Oh, yes, it did. He usually wants a massage therapist and a bottle of Centrum multivitamins. That's how you know an act is old. I would like some Centrum multivitamins, please. So, but here's what I was thinking when I read this. How many bottles of Centrum multivitamins did George Clinton need? Because if he did, let's say he did, and I don't know his schedule, let's say he did a gig, I don't know, today. And then he's here on the last night of Taste of Chicago, July 15th. That's a couple weeks, week and a half. You can't go through a bottle of Centrum multivitamins between. So I don't know if he's stockpiling these Centrum multivitamins and then selling them on the black market. Or if he's just, you know, he's just a guy who likes a lot of vitamins. He wants to know that he will never run out of vitamins. But either way, he's not getting them when he comes to Chicago. Did you find some? Did you find our Juanez? Ah, yes. Somebody give me a little background on Juanez. I guess he was part of a very successful band. And then went his own way, went solo. And shot to the stratosphere. With a solo musical career. He's going to sing at some point.
Que mis ojos se despierten con la luz de tu mirada yo.
Yes. So somehow Juanez is going to have to perform without his 36 bottles of very good cold beer. Extremely cold good beer. I like that. See, again, I got no problem with this. I love it. I love it. If you could get, if I could put a rider in here and they would actually honor it, I would have all kind of crazy stuff. Like Van Halen was legendary for having no brown M&Ms backstage. But they also said that was not so much to show that they could do that kind of thing, but to make sure the promoters read the entire contract. Because if you come in and there's it's all brown M&Ms or there's brown, you know people didn't read because they put it in huge. Some people put it in huge writing in their rider. For example, Beyonce is the queen of the world. We know that. Let's not, Cody, you can't argue it. Beyonce and Oprah, their battle for top spot in Queen of the World. Beyonce, I think, has the edge because she's still out there doing it. She and all the single ladies. Putting a ring on it, she's out there. Beyonce. She needs her dressing room kept at 78 degrees and asks for chicken Beyonce Vevo legs, heavily seasoned, with cayenne pepper and rose-scented candles. No Coca-Cola products anywhere near Beyonce because she is endorsed by Pepsi. So you can't even have a Coca-Cola backstage. I think they execute you. I think Beyonce's army takes you out if you are drinking a Pepsi or a Coke, and she executes you. And she's, according to the Constitution, Beyonce well within her rights. It's there's a new codicil in the Constitution. I don't know if you read
it. The 34th Amendment.
Beyonce can do whatever the heck she wants.
Yeah.
That's the 34th Amendment. So here are some of her demands. One large table for catering dressed with white tablecloths. Dressing room should be 78 degrees. 4 brand new white towels in the bathroom. 2 for face, 2 for body. Hot food, juicy baked chicken legs. Legs, wing, and breast only. Please season with fresh garlic, seasoned salt, black pepper, and cayenne pepper. Heavily seasoned. That's in capital letters with an exclamation point. So you know Beyonce doesn't want any bland legs rolling up. Steamed garlic broccoli, lightly seasoned green beans, slightly seasoned steamed spinach. One case of Aquafina. Half cold, half room temperature. One hot tea setup. Please have a new coffee pot, Cody. I don't want to be drinking out of Aerosmith's coffee pot from last night. I'm Beyonce. You get me a new coffee pot. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come in here and have, you know, the circus was here last week. I'm not drinking out of the Lion Tamer's coffee pot. She also wants sliced lemon wedges, rosé-scented candles, and a lighter for the candles, as well as a CD player. A CD player? This has got to be an old rider. There's no way, unless Beyonce's just like, let's see if they can find me a boombox. Just for her own amusement. Just, I want to see if somebody can find, and somebody's go, call home, see if we still have that boombox in the garage. All right. I mentioned Kanye before. Kanye's a little nuts, as we all know, you know. So previously he has requested a barber's chair, Carmex lip balm, shower shoes, and a lot of alcohol. On his most recent St. Pablo tour, this is my favorite. He demanded a slushy machine with mixes of Coke and Hennessy in one and Grey Goose and lemonade in another. So he's got daiquiri machines in his dressing room, and you're only there for the day. And these venues are recreating their entire backstage area. I did it all wrong when I was on the road. I never had anything like this. So those are good. He also wants a tub of plain yogurt for dipping, four small Yoplait yogurts, a bowl of assorted nuts, a bowl of sun-kissed salted pistachio nuts, no red coloring. Don't even look at me with the red coloring. Two packs of extra chewing gum, a bottle of hot sauce, either Tabasco or Caribbean style, a box of toothpicks, a 750-milliliter bottle of Hennessy, a 750-milliliter bottle of Sky or Absolut Vodka, a bottle of Patron Silver Tequila, and 4 6-packs of Heineken. Man, Kanye knows how to roll. That's hardcore backstage. Hardcore. Let's see, I'll give you a choice. You could hear Katy Perry, Paul McCartney, Mariah Carey, or Eminem.
Let's do Eminem for 400.
Eminem for 400, Alex. Of course. Let's do a little Eminem. He's not. See, I'm glad you picked Eminem, because you would think maybe Eminem, he has a reputation of being difficult, right? He's very low maintenance when it comes to his rider.
Huh.
Seriously low maintenance. Fruit, food, drinks. He just wants access to some weights. So he needs a CD player, too, that can burn CDs. And what is going to be the funniest? If you don't laugh at one of these things, I will be shocked. One of the funniest things that I think a major musical act could ask for in a rider. 25-pound dumbbells, okay, because you got to load the guns before you go out there. 24 Diet Cokes, 16-ounce plastic bottles, and 12 Diet Cokes in cans. 6 cans of Werner Ginger Ale, keeping it real for Michigan. Good for you, Eminem. I like Werner. Have you ever had Werner's?
No.
Oh, man, it's the best ginger ale on the planet.
Huh.
And if you say differently, I'm going to fight you.
All right, I
will fight anybody who says Werner's is not the best ginger ale.
Wow, you are passionate about that ginger ale.
That was one of the, listen, other than my wife saying yes that she'd marry me, one of the best things about meeting her was learning about Werner's ginger ale. It's great. It's great as a cold, refreshing beverage. If you have some sort of stomach issue, fantastic. Drink it at room temperature. Oh, man, it's great. 48 ounces of Dasani, Poland Spring, 12-ounce bottles. No Evian, because he's not fancy schmancy like that. He wants just Poland Springs or Dasani. That's all. Regular water. But you can fill up empty bottles on the tap. I don't care. I'm M&M. One loaf of white bread. One loaf of wheat bread. 6 Lunchables.
Six
Lunchables. That is, to me, I was like, really? Eminem? Lunchables? He needs 3 turkey and 3 ham with cheese.
Wow.
To put on his white bread and his wheat bread.
Lunchables are delicious.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're rubber, but they're delicious rubber.
Sure. But if you're a multimillionaire, I guess sometimes your tastes don't change.
Hey, childhood, man.
Yeah.
Nostalgia.
So he needs the Lunchables. 6 cans of Red Bull, 16 cans of sugar-free Red Bull, large fresh jumbo shrimps with cocktail sauce and plenty of lemons, and a jar of banana pepper rings.
Banana pepper rings? Okay, that's fair. It's a good condiment.
Sure, because you're making sandwiches with your Lunchables.
Yeah.
And you gotta juice them up a little bit.
I like those pizza Lunchables.
I've never had a Lunchable in my life.
Yeah, no, like I said, I mean, they're not healthy, probably, or real food, but man, the pizzas are so fun to make because you get a little little like ketchup packet full of tomato sauce.
Yeah,
and dump it on there. Put a couple pepperonis. Sprinkle like five pieces of shredded cheese.
I saw the guy. I've seen kids bring them to school.
Yeah.
And I know back in the day, we might have, Molly, every once in a while, but like for field trips, Molly would get one. But yeah, I'm just, it's a kid, like in my mind, that's what kids eat.
It is.
I know, but it's not what, you know, if I'm a 45-year-old rapper who's making millions and millions of dollars, I'm going to ask for, you know, maybe a regular sub. Just, you know, something like that.
Like an adult sandwich?
Like an adult sandwich. I might ask for an adult sandwich.
Yeah.
Made out of gummy bears. That's I want a Reuben sandwich, but the bread has to be cookies. What? You read it. Now get it for me. All right, on the other side of the news, why I was chastised yesterday for enjoying a snack. It's and you know, a policy is now in place. All right, we'll get to that on the other side. It is 5:30 on 720 WGN. That means it's time for the news. Here's Pam Jones. Yeah, so that was Eminem. I'm still struggling with the whole Lunchables concept. But I struggle with so many concepts, that's fine. It's, you know, it's easy. You roll in, you eat your Lunchable. You don't have to think about it, right? It's all right there.
Yeah.
You get a dessert. Some of them you get a dessert, too, right?
Another ones that I usually eat.
I think the bigger, there's the little ones that are square.
Yeah.
Then there's bigger rectangular ones. And I think the bigger rectangular ones, you get a dessert in there, too.
I'm surprised. He did say water, I guess. There's a lot of, you know, carbonated Diet Coke. Because, like, you don't want to get dry on stage. I would be hydrating hardcore.
Well, a lot.
They sweat. They jump around a lot.
Jump around. Have, that's House of Pain, Cody.
Lubricate their voice. There's that, too.
No, he had, he had 48 Dasani, Poland Spring, 12-ounce bottles. So he had water back there. He did have a lot of pop. I think, because you travel with a crew, too. You know, or an entourage, usually, mm-hmm. So there's people around. For example, Madonna has, like, 200 people that travel with her. 200 people on, 200 person entourage. They need 20 international phone lines. Her backstage room must look exactly like her own home. That means she ships around her own furniture. You've lost touch with reality, if that's what you need, right? I need the backstage area of the United Center to look exactly like my home. Really? Again, I guess it's just because you can, because people will go, okay, Madonna, we'll do that for you. Because you know they're mumbling after they read her contract. What the hell is her? She needs special flower-scented fabric, actual flowers, a personal chef who prepares only vegan food, her own dry cleaner. That's right. She needs all of that. Alicia Keys needs 3 cans of chunk white tuna.
I want to know what artists need specific video game systems in the back.
I have not seen any of that. I see a lot of hot tea services. For Jay-Z, Jay-Z needs 7 dressing rooms at 72 degrees.
He doesn't.
A seen a large couch.
He doesn't.
Matching end tables and 48 cases of Fiji water.
He doesn't need no one needs 7 dressing rooms.
I think he needs a good jar of quality peanut butter and a jar of good quality grape jelly.
I think he needs a quality punch in the throat.
Nope.
For being so out of touch with reality. Someone's got to jolt him back.
No, they are jolting. They're saying, whatever you need. Whatever you need, my friend. Alicia Keys also needs 2 cases of beer. 1 imported, 1 domestic. Brands preferred Amstel Light, Corona, Bud Light, or local beer. 3 menus for local seafood and Italian restaurants to order meals for Alicia.
That is perfectly reasonable.
The menus?
Oh, my God, yes. And the domestic. She even gives options.
Right.
I can select off of this menu. It's like picking drinks for a wedding.
Yeah. Go get me those. Okay, fine. Cher needs a wig room, a room for Dr. Stacy, which is her massage therapist, a bottle of fine red wine, no Kendall Jackson. And I love seeing the brands that these celebrity singers will not drink, because I'm like, oh, those are things that I drink, which is why I'm not a huge megastar. A bottle of fine white wine, no Kendall Jackson. 4 Cokes, 4 Diet Cokes, coffee table and end table, for the phone to be placed on, a TV and a VCR with cable hookups. This is an old rider for her.
Or it's not. Maybe she's got a lot of sweat into the oldies she likes to do beforehand.
Perhaps. She pulls out the Jane Fonda tapes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Taylor Swift. This will be the last one. She needs a 12-pack of Newcastle. That seems easy. A 12-pack of Corona. That's fine. 4 packs of Red Bull. Taylor Swift keeping it real. 1 stick of butter and 3 boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese. You can whip up some Blue Box mac and cheese when you're back there with Taylor. You could have a bottle of Welch's grape jelly, one avocado, a bag of Twizzlers, a case of Smart Water, a pint of Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, and a pint of Ben & Jerry's chocolate brownie frozen yogurt.
How is she that skinny? She doesn't eat any of that.
No.
This whole thing's a front.
I would love to see, because I remember, are you familiar with Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
So I worked with Pauly Shore.
Oh, man. The worst movie I've ever seen in my life was
Biodome.
No. I liked Biodome. I liked Pauly Shore. I am sorry. I was thinking of Tom Green.
Oh,
I hate Tom Green.
Yeah,
but yes, I like Pauly Shore.
All right.
I like Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore. I'm not going to speak ill of Pauly Shore. Whatever. I worked with him. He had a rider.
Really?
Sure. And he had, now, granted, his rider was not, he didn't need seven dressing rooms like Jay-Z, and there were no VCRs, and, you know, nobody cared what the room temperature of the green room was, because it was right off the stage. But he had had them bring in all of these sandwiches and different foods, and you know how much he ate of it? None. None of it. So all the club had put out all this money to get all this stuff. And, you know, it was just to show that he could do it. Because Pauly had a bus. He traveled around on a tour bus. And he would leave the tour bus and walk into the club and do his show. And then he would walk back out. And people would line up outside the tour bus. Mostly young ladies line up outside the tour bus for a chance to go in and meet Pauly Shore. Now, this is a long time ago. But, yeah, it was the Wheeze. The Weasel was getting his, that was his nickname.
I remember that.
The Wheeze. And, yeah. Women would line up outside the tour bus, parked in a strip mall in Macon, Georgia. Classy!
Did you hear about the movie Pauly Shore is Dead?
No.
In 2003, he directed, produced, and co-wrote and starred in a mockumentary where he fakes his own death to boost his career.
Oh, how'd that work out?
Do you know how much it made in the box office?
$78.
Close! $11,000.
That's not much.
Not much.
Especially because I'm sure his late mother, Mitzi Shore, was trying to get... I almost said Mitzi Gaynor. Mitzi Shore probably told every comic in L.A. if they wanted to work the store, they had to go see this movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
She runs it?
Not anymore.
Uh-huh.
She's passed away.
Uh-huh.
Comedy Store is a weird place. A weird vibe in that place. There's a lot of rooms. It's very dark. It's, you know, you got... The big room, then there's room upstairs, and there's another room.
Is it the place where upstairs is like an elite table, kind of, where some of the top comics sit, and it's like a...
No, that's in New York.
That's in New York, okay.
That's New York. That's at, what club is that? I want to say the Comedy Underground.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bill Burr was talking about
yes.
it on his podcast.
Comedy Underground. That's, yeah, they have the comics table.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's... I'm sure there were tables like that in L.A. I was not privy to them, but I'm sure it was there.
Sure.
It's an odd thing. You know what else is odd? When people decide to kind of put a crimp in the fun and create policy. The word policy was actually used last night. So this weekend is Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center, and it's going on tonight until 11. So if you're in the area and you want some fine Irish music or some treats, go on up there. Here's my tip for you, though. If you go into the gift shop, and you should, because it's a lovely, lovely gift shop, be very careful what you say. Now, I think it was 2012, Conan did a week of shows from here in Chicago. And one of his stops was at the Irish American Heritage Center. And it's funny to look at that footage now, because it was a big deal when Conan was here. His show was at the time. He was doing great. I got to go to see one of the tapings. It was really cool at the Chicago Theater. And when Conan visited the Heritage Center, of course, that was a really big thing. And he did a big produced piece that he ran on the show. And then the Trinity Irish Dancers came to the taping of the show, and he brought them out. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, that's also 6 years ago. And so to see the improvements of the center, because when Conan is standing outside of it in this, and you can Google the video, Conan O'Brien Irish American Heritage Center, the front... The sidewalk was all torn up and everything. Now it's beautiful paved bricks and all that. And there's things in the that are dated. But one of the things that Conan did was he befriended a woman who is no longer with us, unfortunately. And she ran the gift shop at the Irish American Heritage Center. And Conan came across a delicious Irish treat and was very taken with it.
We are enjoying bring the Irish Gift Shop now here at the Irish American Heritage Center.
Look at Potatoes. Just in case you mistakenly pronounce it potato, they correct you. No, it's potatoes. Oh, have potatoes. That goes well with a potato.
Tatoes are a real thing. And at this moment in my house, there are a few bags, a few small bags of tatoes, which are they're potato chips. They're an Irish brand of potato chips, like salt and vinegar, cheese and onion. They got all kind of flavors, but they're tatoes, T-A-Y-T-O-S, tatoes, and they're everywhere. And as you can imagine, you know, back in 2012, as I said, Conan's show, very, very popular. So Conan screaming tatoes, caught on 12 years ago. Well, since then, as I mentioned, that woman has passed on, and the gift shop has seen a huge renovation. There's tons of wonderful things, and there's a new man who runs it who's very nice, but a tad stern in his demeanor. I think that's a nice way to put it, right? Stern in his demeanor. That doesn't mean it's not that he's a bad guy, he's just stern. Well, they carry a lot of things, but one thing they still do carry in the Irish American Heritage Center gift shop is tatoes! And not only the little individual bags, but big, giant, family-sized bag of tatoes. Because, you know, Irish Catholic families are usually big, so you need a full trough of tatoes to make sure you satisfy the entire clan. Well, you know, over in the past few years, we'd wander in to the gift shop. You may have wandered in there with me one time, Cody. And I always say, tatoes. I guess I'm not the only one who says that. As you can imagine, even 6 years later, tatoes still gets that response. So last night, we're getting ready to leave, and my wife's like, oh, I want to go in and get a candy bar, some Irish chocolate, whatever, to eat in the car on the way home. And I said, oh, don't forget to get yourself some tatoes. And she got very excited. Oh, tatoes, I got to get some tatoes. And you have to say it like that. You can't just say, you want to get some tatoes? Nope, you got tatoes. You got to throw a little bit of a brogue on it. Put a little Irish on it when you're going for the tatoes. Now, I had been in the gift shop earlier in the day, just browsing. No, I'm sorry, I was in there Thursday night because I had to go up for a volunteers meeting. So I was in there Thursday night, and I didn't say tatoes then. But when I walked in yesterday, there was a crudely scrawled sign on the tatoes. In red marker, it said, do not yell tatoes. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Now I have to yell tatoes. Because I was with a buddy of mine. And so I didn't yell it like loud, but I would walk around and go, tatoes, tatoes. So Debbie buys some tatoes. Tatoes. She walks up to the she walks up to pay for them, and she says to the man, "I saw your sign. Is this really a problem?" And very sternly, he said, "Well, not so much this year, but last year it was a very big problem. That's why the new policy has been enacted." I'm like, "Whoa, seriously? You've got a no tato policy?" And the sign did not support a policy. The sign was like some kid had come in there and screamed tatoes, and after having heard tatoes for about the 1,000th time, this man had enough. So he grabbed the red marker that he uses for markdowns on various products, and he scrawled this sign. To say it's a policy, I think, gave it a false gravitas. That was not, because I said tatoes a few more times. If a policy had been in place, you would think I would have been escorted out by security. And yet I was not. So, while it probably is bothersome, just if you go to Irish Fest tonight, and you walk into the gift shop, you may or may not want to say, tatoes! But if you do it, you have to buy some. Don't be a jerk. Well, I guess going in and saying it would be a jerk. But see if the sign is still there. I almost took a picture of it because it was anti-Tato propaganda, and I was not having it, not having it at all. So that's how I almost got ejected for a new policy.
Love signs like that.
Tatoes. Yeah, and it was like, he was so angry when he wrote it, the lines of the letters didn't even meet, and it was all crooked, and he had overjudged how big his letters were, because I think he wanted to fold it over so it would sit on top of the big bag of potatoes, but because of his anger when he scrawled the missive, he just had to lay it on top, which does not make for, enforceable policy. If I think, somebody just scrawled it out and laid it there by mistake, if you don't want me yelling Tatoes when I come into the gift shop, you go out, you spring for an engraved sign, you get the word Tato on a plaque and then do the red circle with a line through it, or coming out of somebody's mouth like a speech bubble with the line through it. That's how you say, don't yell out Tatoes.
Yeah.
You don't scrawl this with a fine, not even a thick tipped marker. Like a fine point marker, he did it. Which, again, doesn't... If I don't want somebody walking in this room, I take a full-size, thick magic marker, and I write a sign. So the letters are bold, and they stand out. This was like almost a suggestion. Hey, if you could, maybe when you come in, don't yell out, Tatoes! But I have to.
It's possible to go too far the other way, though, where it just
yelling Tatoes?
No. Making a sign. You can make a sign maybe too aggressive. Bolded? Too aggressive or maybe too passive-aggressive?
I don't think that... if you really don't want somebody screaming Tatoes, you can't be too soft.
I'm kind of...
You gotta come back hard.
I'm kind of upset you didn't take a picture of this.
I am too. Well, maybe I'll go back up there tonight.
If you go, please tweet it to us.
I will try to find... Or if somebody is there, if you're listening on your way to the Heritage Center, or... because I will say, I met a lot of really nice people who listen to this program. And I say really nice and listen to this program knowing those are mutually exclusive. So, it was a pleasure, and it's always, it's always, weird for me. I figure the only one listening is me, and I only do it part-time.
Yeah.
I know you don't.
It's twice as much as me.
Right. So, I'm always amazed when we run into people, and people who listen. I almost said fans, because I've got two Hennessy slushy machines in my dressing room over here. That's because I'm a big shot. Oh, it was very nice. Met some fine folks, fine Chicago police officers from the Emerald Society yesterday. They did a phenomenal performance. If you get a chance to see the band Tupelo, do it.
Mm.
It was unbelievable. Now, see, we're getting texts, and I'm not going to condone this texter from the 630 calling for a public action, everybody to walk into the gift shop and yell Tatoes. But, don't rile him up. The poor guy, he's working hard. He's selling all sorts of wonderful things in the gift shop. He's heard it one too many times. And then he heard it eight too many times by the time I left last night. Tatoes. All right, we got to take a break. Are you smarter than a Jeopardy contestant? Three Jeopardy contestants could not answer one question the other day. I'll tell you what it is. See if you're smarter. WGN. All right, now I mentioned before we went to break that, Jeopardy's one of those games, and I've been on a few game shows, and I've actually won three game shows. And people say, boy, you must be pretty smart. And I say, no. I know a lot. I know a little about a lot. But Jeopardy is one of those games that you just assume the people on there are going to be very smart. In so many different areas, and usually they are. It's a game show for intellectuals, which is why Cody and I are not on it. If it was a game show for looks, we would dominate. But a game show for intellects, not so much. So, Daily Beast Washington Bureau Chief was watching the show the other day, and the category was recent stuff. Recent stuff for 1,000. Now, you've got three people on there who are very, very smart, allegedly. Here is the question. And Cody, Roger has pulled up to the anchor desk, and I know he gets very upset if we don't say hello to him right away. So hello, Roger. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
What are you putting on your Barry White voice? What's going on in there?
Did
you have a harmonizer?
I'm still feeling the effects of the parade from Wednesday, the announcing.
Wow.
In the sun for about 3 hours.
They didn't give you a microphone?
I did have
you
a microphone.
You just had to scream? What happened?
Well, you do, pretty much, because of all the noise and... Yeah, won't get into the technical stuff, but yeah.
Wow. Did. And it's Sunday now. You realize it's Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
And you're still that beat up?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to retire.
No way.
Yeah, well, takes this much out of you.
No, it hasn't.
You're an old man. Maybe
I'm actually feeling great, and I think my voice is even more melodious.
Is that right?
I think so.
All right, well. We all have our own thoughts. That's fine. It's whatever you need. That's fine. All right, here's the question. Let's see if Cody and Roger know the answer. Again, recent stuff is the category for 1,000. Recent stuff for 1,000. In 2017, this ex-national security advisor pled guilty to lying to the FBI. Oh,
wow. I should know this.
You should, You're a newsman.
Should you?
Ex-national security advisor.
2017. It just happened. Recent stuff. Cody,
the hearings before Congress. I saw that.
Yeah, you say you should know this, but.
I should.
If you're a newsman, you should definitely know this.
I mean, no offense to the newsroom, but God, I bury my head in the sand with all this. Russia investigation.
Yeah,
crap.
But this was.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, what? Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome.
I just don't care about any of it.
I understand.
I don't know. I don't know who Comey is. I don't know who any. I see these names trending on Twitter, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are.
You should have a cursory knowledge of what's happening.
It doesn't matter. He got a date a year ago. No one even remembers. Why am I going to fill my head with the names of these people that don't matter, that are all cogs in this giant machine?
Wow.
If the president gets impeached, the president gets impeached. I don't need
how ferociously you are defending your ignorance.
It's because I don't need the play-by-play of criminal investigations or whatever's going on for 5 years.
Well, this is not an investigation. This is a guy who pled guilty.
That's fine. I don't care. It's some random dude that's now in jail, and I'm over it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Roger,
notice I'm just sitting here nice and quiet.
Yeah, Roger's Googling it.
No.
It's time to Google it.
No, I'm not Googling.
Somebody said John Kelly. That was incorrect. That was Suzanne. She was incorrect. And the White House Deputy Assistant Sebastian Gorka was another answer. That is incorrect. I was waiting to see. Usually our text line will jump up. Old people very upset.
Text line not happy with me. Tell me why it's important. And I'll listen.
It's nice to.
You said exactly who it is. It's National Security Advisor. It's not an advisor to the president. It's from the National Security Council. So,
Roger, the National Security Advisor reports to the president.
Well, you mentioned Gorka.
That was an incorrect answer.
Right.
The correct answer is General Michael Flynn. General Michael Flynn.
That's right. He was appointed and then had to resign.
I know.
But yeah. one of several.
Well, I know.
One of several.
I love that Roger.
All of a sudden, it's,
Roger made a pronouncement. And I'll tell you, not somebody who advises the president. The National Security Advisor advises the president.
You know, you're a lot closer now than you were seven floors below.
No, this is very exciting.
Who's the National Security Advisor now?
It's time for going to the news.
exactly.
If he was making headlines, I'd know.
It's a guy nobody knew before 2017, irrelevant.
No, Flynn's been around. He was under the Obama administration.
And he was known. He was known.
Obama got him out of his administration.
Right, we got to get to the news. Because we're going to talk barbecue.
Okay.
That. And I, you know, that's to me.
You can't postpone the barbecue.
I cannot talk. I got to get there. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play at WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. It is 6 o'clock. Here's Roger Badish. Cody is working hard to try to get a hold of our guest. Sometimes this happens. Live radio, it's all right. No big thing. The Windy City Smokeout is coming up this weekend, 560 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 20 of the top pitmasters in the world are going to be here plying their trade in the barbecue world. And there's great country music. Windy City Barbecue, or Windy City Smokeout, rather, .com is where you get all the information. How are we doing, Cody? We having any luck? No, that's all right. Listen, we got a lot to talk about. We're still trying to figure out why Roger doesn't feel the need to know newsmakers, but that's okay. He's just a newsman. We're just giving you a hard time, Roger. You know that.
Of course
We know that you know some stuff.
Very little. Not as much as you.
No, that's not true. I don't know. I don't. I don't claim to know a lot of stuff.
I understand, which makes it even more impressive.
That's the difference. I don't claim to know a lot of things. I know what I know. I try to learn more things. Mm-hmm. I'm always up for trying to learn things, but, I don't know. Like barbecue. I'm always trying to learn new things about barbecue.
You know a lot more than I do about that stuff.
Well, I know some. I know enough to be dangerous. You remember the Insatiable Insomniacs?
Yeah.
Well, Double D is like an unbelievable barbecue guy. He learns about new techniques. He tries new recipes. Mm-hmm. He's always doing stuff. And so he's my guy because he helped facilitate me getting my new smoker last year. And so he's my guy if I have any smoking-related questions, meat-related questions, okay. Barbecue that I will go to. Also, my books, my first book from Mike Mills, Peace, Love, and Barbecue. I'm constantly on that one. Mm-hmm. My copy is dog-eared, and there's notes sticking out of it, and there's all kinds of stuff. And then there's a new Mike Mills, the legend, and his daughter Amy Mills, who now is like the go-to woman in barbecue. They have a new book out called Praise the Lard. It actually has been out for about a year.
That's cool.
And it is it's full of all sorts of wonderful.
Can I ask you a question?
All sorts of recipes. Yes, you can ask me a question.
Of all the things that you like to barbecue,
yes.
What is your most favorite thing to barbecue?
Oh, ribs, of course.
Just straight ribs.
Ribs.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you got to work on them to prep them.
Right.
Then you got to smoke them for about 7 hours.
You work it.
It's all about, that's the thing. That's the big difference between grilling and barbecuing. Barbecuing takes time and it takes passion and it takes, a commitment. You've got to do it. And one woman who has committed her life now to barbecue, and I don't think it was always that way, but Amy Mills joins me now on WGN from 17th Street Barbecue. The new book is Praise the Lard. Amy and her dad Mike and the whole 17th Street Barbecue team will be at Windy City Smokeout next weekend. Amy, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This is, as I've been going through, I think I mentioned to you when I was fortunate enough to spend time with you and your dad last October, that my copy of Peace, Love, and Barbecue, the first book, is all dog-eared. It's all ripped up. It's, there's notes sticking out of it. There's highlights. There's all sorts of things. And Praise the Lard is starting to become that way as well. It's because even people I think who aren't into the barbecue culture should look at this book, because it's not just a cookbook. It's a history book. It's a how-to guide. And it really, in some ways, and this might seem hyperbolic, is a love story to food and to your family. It's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Well, thank you. That's exactly what it was meant to be. So I appreciate you coming up with that.
Now, all right, you are described on the 17th Street Barbecue website, 17bbq.com, as the go-to girl for barbecue. You've been doing this with your dad for a while, but you didn't start out. You were very successful in other ways before you ever turned to barbecue, and I think it's a great story. How did you come to change your life and end up working with your father and helping, elevate not only Murfreesboro and the barbecue there, but barbecue across the country?
Well, I went away to school and studied journalism, and I lived very briefly in Dallas, but then in Boston for quite some time, and I've always worked in the advertising, marketing, PR arenas. So, all of those things are what I love doing. And when I came back to 17th Street, I started off doing all of those things, for our family business. I really ran far and fast from barbecue, but I got sucked back into the vortex, and I'm really very happy to be part of all of this again. My dad is so fabulous at cooking and at running this restaurant, and he really just started needing a little help with some of these other items, in PR and marketing and things like that. So I just, slowly did some projects here and there, and then before I knew it, it was 24 hours a day practically.
Well, and it's funny because barbecue, and your dad didn't start out as a barbecue restaurant guy either. He had a whole different life and just barbecued around the house. And then what was it that made him decide, well, boy, this barbecue thing is kind of where I really want my passion to lie?
Yes. Well, he has always been an avid barbecuer, and he learned from his own father, whose dream it was to bottle a family barbecue sauce and open a restaurant. And sadly, he died when my dad was 7. So two older brothers actually did have a barbecue stand at the town pool, and my grandmother made that barbecue sauce by the gallon for friends and neighbors after her husband died. She also made it for our restaurant up until maybe 5 years before she died. She was making the sauce until it became so much that she just really couldn't keep up with it anymore. So barbecue has been part of our family legend and lore for a long time. my dad built barbecue pits in high school to make extra money, and he barbecued for other people for free all the time. People would come who were having a party or a class reunion or a wedding and ask him if he would barbecue for them. He also, before we had 17th Street, he had another, just a bar called the Corner Tavern, and he would do fish fries and barbecues for free on the weekend to get people to come and buy more booze.
Well, that's a good plan, because if people are, you know, if people are eating, they need to wash it down with something.
Exactly.
And are you at all surprised, not with the success of 17th Street in Murfreesboro, but how barbecue has gone from a smaller town or a family kind of thing or a regional thing to now it's everywhere. It's in the big cities. You guys, in fact, helped, you and your dad helped to form the Big Apple Smokeout or the Big Apple Barbecue Fest.
The Big Apple Barbecue Block Party, yeah. Yes. Well, I have watched this go from from being a very celebrated regional cuisine to really taking its rightful place, I think, as one of the original American food groups. And we are just starting our 10th year, actually, of these barbecue classes we have for restaurant professionals called On Cue. And we've had over 1,000 people from 48 states and 16 countries who've come to learn about barbecue, many of them wanting to get into the business, some of them already in the business but just wanting to learn more, and some, you know, very old barbecue families coming just to see if they can pick up a trick or two, because, you know, you can transform your business with just one little tweak of how you do things.
Do you ever?
So we, at this point, have incubated or helped incubate so many restaurants across the world, and it is astounding to me. There's no bigger thrill than seeing somebody new come onto the scene and, you know, really love the craft and put their all into it and then start getting attention for that as well.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, having these classes, because it seems like it's easy to do barbecue the wrong way, whether you're in business or whether you're just somebody in their backyard. What do you guys see as the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to start, you know, they get a smoker and they're like, okay, now I'm going to be a barbecuer, or they open a restaurant and they say, we're going to serve barbecue. What's the biggest mistake?
Well, the biggest mistake at home, I think, is not taking enough time, like too much heat, too high of heat. And the biggest mistake in a restaurant is, most people, if you open a restaurant, by this time you surely know how to cook some good barbecue. And the beauty of it is that there is so much good barbecue out there. Every barbecue is somebody's favorite. So it's not knowing how to hold that barbecue and make it taste good all day. Versus, it always tastes good fresh off the
right.
pit, but you have to make sure it's going to taste good for quite some time.
And is that's why a lot of places you go to and say, oh, we had brisket early, but the brisket's gone. And that seems to be like a good way to do it. You cook it just enough that you're going to sell that day, and that's it. Because it can't really go to the next day, right, if you want it
exactly.
to be good.
Exactly. But you do need to have it all day or as long as you can.
Right.
There are lots of places built on we want to sell out early afternoon. We don't have enough people in our area to be able to do that, so
right.
we need to still be able to serve somebody if they come in at 9 o'clock, and we like to still have meat for them.
Sure.
People get very angry if you are sold out.
Oh yeah, you want it, if you want
really angry.
Yes. Well, we were down there for the eclipse last year and came over, and of course that day everybody in the United States was in the southern Illinois area, and we saw the governor. He was trying to get some ribs. You didn't even have ribs for the governor that day.
We didn't, and we cooked as much as we could, but you also don't want to have it left over.
Exactly.
So it's always it's very tricky to figure out your par for each day.
Was it a difficult transition when you guys went to New York? Because, you know, New York has a reputation of, one, they're a culinary epicenter of the world, and as we were talking about, barbecue was kind of a regional thing. Was there a period of adoption when you went to New York?
Well, it was difficult, and I have to give Danny Meyer just a huge amount of credit, because I think that opening Blue Smoke and then starting the Big Apple Barbecue Block Party really helped put barbecue on the culinary map. We were then able to be in New York City, entertain all kinds of people, all kinds of media professionals who would probably not get to Murfreesboro, but they could certainly see us once a year in New York. And we were able to form some outstanding relationships, feed people, and really just not just us, but all the barbecuers who participate in that event. You know, we were really able to tell our stories to the New York media elite, and that helped tremendously.
And I know
Blue Smoke really kind of took it on the chin when they first opened, because people didn't really understand barbecue, and they had so many expats from all over, and everybody wanted to taste their own kind of barbecue they were used to. So I think they set the stage for all the successful barbecue restaurants that have opened since then.
And there are a lot there in New York. There's a lot here in Chicago. You guys seem to still be ruling the roost, though, down in Southern Illinois. Has there been a clamoring now for somebody to go, you know, well, we're going to come in, we're going to dethrone Mike Mills? He can only be the legend for so long.
That would seem like I don't think so. I think that barbecuers, we're really like a big family. You'll see that hashtag BBQ family.
Yeah.
Used by everybody. And I think that, you know, just like Hollywood, there's no one best, but there is certainly an A-list. And
oh, yeah.
Some fabulous barbecuers all across the country, and we're very happy to share the stage with a huge group of people who are just wonderful barbecuers and even better people.
And you guys are in with, there's 20 pitmasters coming up at the Windy City Smokeout this weekend. 17th Street Barbecue is one of them. And you see that in... You know, when you're at contests, and I've been fortunate enough to go and watch a couple of these barbecue contests, you're right, there does seem to be that family atmosphere. But every pitmaster, every crew has their one or two secrets, right, that you just can't give out. You can help somebody along, but there's something, you got to hold that back, right?
I think the only thing we hold back is the recipe to Magic Dust.
Ah, okay.
So we have had... As I said, over 1,000 people in here. We show them every single thing we do. But the beauty of it is that most people don't want to copy you. They want to take your principles. Then they want to put their own little twist on it. And that's what makes that barbecue special to that person.
Well, and it's, I love the recipe. Maybe now I know it's not the true recipe from the first book. I use that magic dust on pretty much everything. And then as I go through and use the, I just did the chicken wing recipe a couple weeks ago, and it was from Praise the Lard, and it was, I got lots of compliments from people who are usually pretty picky about what I cook at home. So
well, I love hearing that.
Yeah, they enjoyed it quite a bit. So now you come in, tell us about what happens at a big thing like Windy City Smokeout. The crew must come in early. What's it logistically to get things set up, and how different is it cooking on rigs that you take to festivals or contests rather than the home smokers?
Well, our smokers on these trailers are exactly the same kind, so it's, that part is very comfortable. It's a little less comfortable cooking, you know, in a parking lot where
yes.
you're not in the cool, comfortable kitchen, or you don't have every single thing you may need at your disposal. Inevitably, you might forget something, but we all have pretty pared down menus for this event, and so we will pull into place and immediately start cooking, because we have to start serving at 2:00 on Friday.
So how long now? You guys are serving ribs, barbecue brisket, nachos, and pit beans. So how long will the ribs have to cook before? So the first batch is ready at 2:00 on Friday. When will you start? When will you start cooking?
We'll start the ribs Friday morning, but we will have to start the brisket Thursday night.
Okay.
Because the brisket will be chopped up and then put on these nachos, but we'll have to be cooking the whole briskets, and those can take, you know, 16 or so hours.
See, and that's, you, going back to what you said at first, one of the biggest mistakes for people at home is they hear 16 hours, is like, oh my, isn't there a way to do it shorter? But there's not if you want to do it the right way, correct?
Right.
There's nothing.
Well, at home, you can cook a little bit, a smaller piece of meat,
sure.
And when it's in the confines of a much smaller piece of equipment, it's going to cook a little faster.
I don't know. Is brisket the toughest, the hardest piece of meat to cook? I mean, other than, say, a whole hog?
I think so, because you have all of this, you know, connective tissue that has to break down. You have the fatty piece and the lean piece, and they're all hooked together unless you cut them in half and cook them separately. So you are trying to get the fatty end of things to break down while keeping the lean side moist, And that can be very tricky.
So if somebody, let's say Father's Day just passed, and somebody got a smoker, they've always wanted. If they pick up Praise the Lard, what would be a good one or two recipes to kind of, as a kind of gateway recipes for them to ease themselves into the process? So because once you're successful cooking one, it gives you that encouragement to keep going and to go with maybe something a little bit tougher.
I agree. I think the most forgiving traditional barbecue meat is a pork butt.
Okay.
Ribs are actually a little more fragile. They take less time, but they are a little more fragile. Also, I love the chicken wing recipe you just mentioned, as well as the pork steak recipe. The reverse sear method of adding smoke to those first and then finishing them off over the fire, I think, is resulting in some incredible tasting meat. And you just had that happen, right?
The wings were terrific, and you're right. I smoked them for a while, and then don't put any of the sauce, and the sauce recipe was great. You don't put any sauce until they're just about ready to eat, till they're all done and on the grill, and it worked out terrific. It worked out great. Though that recipe and so many more, along with terrific stories and mouthwatering pictures, are in Amy and Mike Mills' new book, Praise the Lard. It's been out for about a year, but if you haven't gotten it and you are interested at all in the art of barbecue, go check that out. Pick up that book wherever books are sold. 17BBQ.com is 17th Street's website. You can follow them on social media. And the 17th Street crew will be at Windy City Smokeout this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, gates open at 2. The ribs will be ready to go. Amy, have a safe trip up here, and congratulations on all the success. Hopefully, everybody is having a good time and a lot of ribs next weekend.
Thank you so much. I hope that we're going to see you at our booth.
I hope to be there, because you know I always like to eat as much smoked meat as possible, much to my cardiologist's
chagrin. Well, please come see us, and we hope to entertain all of Chicago. It is a tremendous festival.
We're looking forward to seeing you, Amy. Thanks so much for the time today. Talk to you soon.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Amy Mills. She and her father, Mike Mills, run 17th Street Barbecue in Murfreesboro, Illinois. If you are ever in Murfreesboro or anywhere near southern Illinois, stop. They also have, if you're just driving down 57 and go, 13 miles over to Murfreesboro, that's a long way. No, just stop at the Marion exit. There's a 17th Street barbecue right there at the exit at 57 and Route 13 in southern Illinois. So you can enjoy that as well. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. Oh, my goodness. I can tell when we haven't been here for a couple weeks, because you come back and your bumps are, you bump hard. You bump back very aggressive, very mean-spirited. I like it. It sums up everything that this show is about. Aggressive and mean-spirited.
Yeah.
That's, put that on a billboard. Aggressive and mean-spirited. But the good news is we'll be out of here at 7. So we'll take all our aggression and our meanness, and we'll inflict it on people on public transportation or on the highway. Right?
Sure.
Your public transportation in it?
I always public transportation it.
Yes. I tell you what, I have a new... not respect for public transportation, but people who have to travel by public transportation after spending a number of days on the New York subway system.
Yeah.
It is a hostile environment. Mm. It is relentless. It would beat you down, I think. You have to be resilient to deal with that every day.
I've not owned a car in 11 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See, and I can't imagine not having a car until I was there. Until I was in New York, I would never have a car there.
Yeah.
So, one place I could drive around, though, if I was so inclined.
Oh,
because,
yeah?
Yeah, well, sure, you can drive around anywhere if you're in a place that has a lot of room, has a place that has a lot of open space, maybe some swamps. Can you tell I'm stalling for time as I try to find
top right?
Top right. There we go.
Rejected state songs. Come to Florida and die.
All the good stories come from Florida. It's America's trailer park. You know that.
Woo! Uh-oh. Brian sees some blips on his Floridar. Get ready to go from classy to trashy. This is Florida News.
Woo! Nature boy. I There's a lot of screens. That's why I had to, you know, I had to wait till the bump music was done. Then I had to click it to another. There's a lot going on. A lot going on. Florida news. When was the last time we did Florida news? Sometime late 2016. I think that's about right.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we know it's the first Florida news from the new studios. Still updating. I'm going to do this all the time. Just a quick update. The women who live across the way still have not made their beds. We've been in here a month. These women have not made their beds. It doesn't appear that they've changed their sheets either. Not that I'm looking. I never see a human. I just see two empty beds.
It's gross. You know what I was considering doing? Mm. We make a big sign with a chess move on it. An opening chess move.
Okay.
You know, like pawn to...
Oh, see if we can play somebody?
To D something, yeah. And then see if anybody ever posts in their window. And then we could do one move a week.
That would be cool.
And then if we lose, can...
Do you know how to play chess?
I went to the Illinois State Chess Tournament in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was high school. That was a long time ago.
It was a while. I'm a bit rusty, but I can...
How about we do Connect Four? That would be easier.
Oh,
start with a Connect Four.
Or Battleship.
Well, sure. Something that we could all play.
Battleship's too easy to lie, though.
That's true. We have to be able to see it. So what we would have to do is do, like, if we wanted to start with just an experiment, just, you know, either the chess. I don't know how to play chess. When I was a kid, I had a chess set that had the move on the back of each piece, so you could tell how the piece was supposed. It was like to teach you how to. It was an instructional set.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the knight had the little. It had an arrow that went up and over.
Mm-hmm.
And every piece had the little thing on the back.
I had one with the board had that, but not the pieces.
Yeah, and so I know which way they're supposed to go, but I hear people who play chess say, "Oh, I thought eight moves ahead, and I know exactly what the other person is going to do, and now I've defeated them."
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
It's hard.
Yeah. I like to react.
Also, how did they do the pawns? Because there's special rules for pawns.
The pawns had arrows that went everywhere, I think. It was like, it was just a square that had arrows that went every direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the
what would be the instruction for a piece that could only move one square as opposed to a piece that can move multiple squares?
A very short line. Something very short.
Oh, okay.
Again, I was a child.
Yeah, well,
it's a long time ago.
But it sounds cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
If I was going to try to learn chess, I would like that set because it is helpful. It would be helpful.
Yeah, that's cool.
But again,
my brother taught me a long time ago. We didn't have fancy arrows or anything like that. He said, here's the chessboard. Here's how you can move each piece. And then boom. And so I became what I called a kamikaze chess player. I just try to keep taking pieces.
Oh, I thought you just ate Chinese food while you played.
No.
Okay. Just try to take pieces? Well, that's it.
Yeah, you also try to win. You can take a lot of pieces.
And still lose.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You got to get that queen, right?
Yeah.
The king. Sure, that's what you do. All right, Cody, I like that idea. Let's do it. Let's challenge the city to a game.
I know. We need is we could use the whiteboard for it.
Yes. Shall we play a game?
Ah.
We bring back the opening for the arcade. Two brave women help an alligator cross a busy intersection. Thank God. Catherine Kerr, a viewer who sent a video to the Fox News station in Orlando, Florida, said that she took the video on Sunday afternoon. She saw an alligator who she thinks was probably lost. Really? Really? You thought the gator was lost, did you? Just wandering down the street? It was at the intersection of Dean Road and East Colonial, and we know gators only go travel on West Colonial. You pass a certain point as a gator, you're obviously lost. You're in the wrong turf. Two women who were stopped at the light then jumped out of their separate cars to direct traffic away from the alligator and herded it back to Downey Park. That's something you don't, you know, every once in a while you'll see a news story about somebody who got out to save a family of ducks. I always like those stories. Perhaps a bear, a baby bear being pulled from a drainage ditch. Those kind of stories make me feel good. And we need some feel-good stories, quite frankly, after listening to the news every day. So I'm glad I'm glad this story didn't end with the gator then spinning around and eating the two women. Because gators are not very trustworthy. In my experience with gators. And you may say, Brian, how much experience do you have with gators? And I'll say, well, I was in Gainesville once, home of the University of Florida. That's pretty much all the experience I have. I did get chased. Well, not chased. I did almost get chased by a gator on a golf course in Myrtle Beach. Or it was Hilton Head, rather. I may have told this story. When I was on the road doing stand-up, I did a one-nighter on Hilton Head because I had that kind of career going. And we were staying in the club put us up in a little condo right on a golf course, which was cool if you golfed and you didn't want to pay for the round, you could sneak out and play a couple holes, which is what the guy I was working with wanted to do. You would have loved it, Roger. You rocked right out the sliding glass door. You were on the golf course.
That would be perfect for me.
Sure, it would have been perfect. And it was also the kind of deal. What's going on in there? Is there a fist fight, a knife fight going on in the
newsroom? Yeah, she's getting ready to lay it down here. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'll come in there and clean house. I don't know what's going on in there.
No, Pam's in charge.
Listen, when you open the microphone, you're in charge, brother. We love Pam, but that was disruptive.
Do you remember what hole you were on?
No, it doesn't matter what hole I was on, because I don't golf.
That's
it didn't
true.
Matter. I knew I was on a golf course. I knew there was a large body of water. You know what I also knew?
What?
That a gator came out of said water.
Oops.
And it was like, oh, because there were some baby gators, like, on the shore.
Oh.
And we didn't get real close, because I'm dumb, but I'm not really dumb.
Right.
So I know if there's a baby, there's probably a mama or daddy somewhere around.
Real close.
Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. The babies don't wander off by themselves too much.
No.
We're looking from a distance again across the fairway. So that, you know how a golf course works, right?
Sure.
You got the fairway, then you got a little rough before the water hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an inlet. Because we were on Hilton Head, so I don't know where it's coming from. The ocean is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, there's the babies, and we're looking from a distance going, oh, look at that. It's baby gators. That's pretty cool. Ah-ha! Look what just came over the ridge, Mama Gator. And she starts making that hissing gator sound.
Yeah.
This is what a gator sounds like.
Okay, sure.
Gators hiss at you.
If you say so.
You ever been close enough?
Never.
Well, then you...
Never.
You don't know if I'm telling the truth
or not. Not at all. But that's why I'm letting it go, baby.
No, they make a sound.
Okay.
Cody, find me a gator hissing sound. They also make the... something like that. They make a lot of sounds. But, so we start backing up, and then backing up a little faster and a little faster, because... The gator...
Was it still walking towards you?
It was walking toward the fairway.
Oh, okay.
But again, we had left ourselves enough room. So even if I saw one on the street,
yeah,
I would not...
You can go the other direction.
I'm not. I'm going to keep driving. I'm gonna offer thoughts and prayers for the gator.
There you go.
Yes,
that's the way to do it.
Thoughts and prayers and hope that the gator survives. It wouldn't be fine. Blotter, man urinates on car, tries to run away from cop. So we go from Good Samaritans helping a gator back to real Florida news. Fort Walton Beach, a 30-year-old man was arrested for indecent exposure, breaching the peace, and resisting arrest after peeing on a car and running away. Enjoy your dinner, everybody. A Fort Walton Beach police officer watched a man stumble out of a residence, stagger over to a vehicle parked on the side of the road, and make water, Miss Daisy, right on the driver's side of the vehicle. When the officer confronted the man, you can imagine his surprise. He didn't stop making water. The officer asked him to cover himself and sit on the ground. The man complied, but while the officer was talking to the owner of the residence, the man stood up to run away. That didn't work out very well because the officer tackled the man and took him into custody. Listen, we've all been overcome by the urge to make water, especially when we're driving older women to the grocery store. That's when we really have to go to the bathroom. But Cody does it. I like making references that I know some people will get. Roger, I heard you snicker. You got the reference. I looked at it, Cody. It was like I had just given him an abacus and asked him to solve for pi.
I had an abacus growing up.
And not the number pi. I wanted him to use an abacus to make me a pie.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
You had an abacus growing up?
Yeah.
I did too. Did you ever learn how to use it?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So, wait a minute.
I still have it.
You have an abacus?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know exactly where it is.
If I call your mother's house and your father answers and I ask him, would he in fact know where your abacus is?
Yeah. No, they wouldn't know where it is. I know where it is. Very top of a box in the closet behind my couch in the living room at my apartment.
Oh, you have it here.
I know exactly where it is.
We could call Dr. Mrs. Cody.
You could literally call my wife right now and say, move the couch, take the boxes out,
really?
Open this one.
I'll do it right here.
Oh, he's got the phone.
She's busy, and we have to take half the rest of the show is a break. Okay. So yeah,
sure, because we've only got about 12 minutes.
We're up against the clock. But if we weren't,
oh, how fortuitous for you that we're up against the clock to not catch you in your abacus ruse,
dude. I'm all about the abacus.
And you bring it in next Sunday.
What color are the beads?
Do some abacusing.
They're multicolor. It's like blue, yellow, red, green, I think.
And you could still do some ciphering?
Yeah.
what would I have to say? Like 28 plus 35?
Sure. I also say like that. I also know how to use a rotary phone.
Oh, I know how to use a rotary phone.
Well, yeah.
You know how to use a slide rule?
What's a slide rule?
How about a sextant? Ooh, I got him. I got him.
Do you know how to use a sextant?
No, I don't know what that is.
A slide ruler.
A sailing device?
Yes, of course. If you're a nautical wheeler, you would know how to use a sextant.
Do you know that astronauts use sextants?
No, I did not.
I'm serious.
Do they have eye patches and parrots, too?
Arn.
And I'm not interested. All right, let's do this. Then there's so much more. One more Florida news story, and then before you go to bed tonight, a little public service announcement. A deputy says a Florida man chugged a can of beer during a DUI stop. Well, I figure if you're that far in, you might as well go all the way. A 48-year-old Florida man raised a can of beer and chugged it after sheriff's deputy stopped him on suspicion of drunk driving. Daryl Royal Riedel told the sheriff's investigators that he was scared when he fled in his pickup truck as Deputy Anthony Lopez stepped out of his patrol car. Sure, police are coming out. You get a little nervous. He drove for a short distance before stopping. He has 3 prior DUI convictions. Well, that's why he was scared, because he's a human dumpster. The 4th is pending. He says he got out of his truck, beer can in his hand, and he chugged it. Well, good for you. Enjoy jail. All right, here's the public service announcement. I don't agree with it. This is something, if my wife tried this, I would be very upset with. Do you wear socks to bed at night, Cody? No, of course not. Roger, do you wear socks to bed at night?
Sometimes, if it's a little too nippy out.
Why did I know asking you it was going to be a very very difficult night? So sometimes, do you really?
Yeah, when it's cold out.
You wear socks to bed. Okay, yeah. Well, good for you. There's been a debate for years about wearing socks to bed, whether you should or not. Keeping your feet warm at night has been proven to actually make a difference in your sleeping patterns, according to a study from sleep.org. Heating cold feet causes vasodilation, which is the dilation of the blood vessels, which may tell the brain that it's bedtime. See, I would never wear socks to bed. I almost said I don't like to wear anything to bed, but I like to wear my jammies, but not footy jammies. It's the one piece sleeper, with the flyaway bottom, but it has no feet in it. Blood vessels open in the hands and feet. Heat is redistributed throughout the body, and it prepares you for sleep. So keeping your feet warm in bed helps you have less restless nights. It also results in falling asleep at a quicker rate, according to this study. You find that, Roger, on the nights that you wear socks, do you fall asleep quicker?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm not tossing and turning as much, but I don't have, if I have my socks on my feet, I make sure that I don't have the covers on my legs.
Now, see, that seems to defeat the purpose. Then won't your legs get cold?
Well,
do you wear long hunting socks or just a no-show anklet?
Waders.
You wear big waders?
No. Right. I don't have them completely off the leg, but I make sure that my feet are free because the socks are already confining the toes, and if I'm, having a dream that I'm running away from some mad alligator, then I want to make sure my feet are moving and not just, like, kicking covers.
Wow, it's a lot of you put a lot of thought into it, which I appreciate. I appreciate anybody.
Only the best for you, sir.
Listen, I like somebody who thinks out an answer. I don't want you just coming off the top of your head at me. I want you to put some thought into it. I want you to kick back and say, you know what, I could answer this quickly and move things along. But, there's probably like 4 minutes left of the show. We can keep going. All right, so the study, which was published in the International Weekly Journal of Science, says that hitting the hay with socks on actually helps you fall asleep 15 minutes sooner than usual. You know what else does? Being really tired. That'll get you to fall asleep real fast. The minute my head hits the pillow, I get like 3 minutes of TV, and then I wake up 2 hours later with my mouth wide open and the TV still going. Wearing socks to bed also is useful in aiding hot flashes. Roger, that's good news for you.
Oh, definitely.
As you're going through menopause. Improving dry feet and increasing orgasms. That's what it's like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Maybe Pete can
I'll tell you where it helped, I never thought of it before. After my chemo treatments.
Really?
I had a lot of neuropathy in my feet.
Okay.
And so it helped kind of cut down on the tingling and the coldness of the feet. And I guess what you were just talking about, that it kind of opened up the blood vessels a little bit. And
really?
It helped ease the neuropathy.
Well, maybe I should look into that.
Okay.
I'm not going to. Okay. traditional Chinese medicine backs up wearing socks to bed. Pete McMurray, you just wandered in. You're always very stylish. I'm guessing in your sleep, you're stylish as well. You probably have some sort of designer pajamas. Do you wear socks to bed?
I wear boxers.
Just boxers? Yeah.
That's it. I'm Lebanese. I have a cardigan sweater. I can't take off. I have a fan blowing in my face. I'm always hot.
You're always hot. See?
Always.
My wife says the same. I'm always hot. She's got the ceiling fan going, a fan next to the bed. Oh, it's so hot. We could never wear socks to bed.
Never. Why? Roger, you wear socks to bed?
Not all the time, but when it gets cold out.
It's nervous.
Yeah. I'd rather put the socks on than have the heat up too high.
You've had the pleasure of working with Roger before, right?
Stop. I love Roger.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But sometimes the answers are going to get convoluted. If you were listening at all, he'll wear the socks because his feet are cold, but he won't wear the blankets over him, so then the rest of his body is exposed.
Well, how does that work?
No, it's not exposed. I'm wearing the blanket, just not over my feet, because the feet are already covered.
Just cover your feet with the blanket and leave the socks off?
Mm-hmm. Because there's a draft underneath where the feet are hanging out over.
Sleeping on some sort of scaffolding? Is it? Don't you have a mattress that is solid or a box spring?
Ever since my surgery, I sleep in the recliner.
All right.
And so when that little footrest pops up, my feet are kind of hanging over the edge.
Is that for circulation?
What, the
sleeping in the recliner?
No, it's like because of the surgery. Okay. And it's uncomfortable for me to sleep in a regular bed now.
Can you get one of those adjustable beds?
We do have one. With the back goes up.
Work?
Yeah.
Sleep number?
No, we didn't go that expensive.
I'm a sleep number 70, Roger.
Really?
I do. I have
what
a sleep number
mean?
Bed.
Is that soft or hard?
Rock hard.
Really?
The harder, the better.
See, I was a rock hard guy for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
And I just had to buy a big foam topper because my mattress has...
What's going on with you?
It's too hard. I got smaller, so I didn't need all this support. And so now it's like, now my bones are hitting the mattress, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is not working at all.
So you go to Target and get that little thing?
Oh, no, I ordered
the eggshell deal?
No, I didn't go eggshell. I ordered this online. Big, thick,
gel
infused. Come on, Pete.
Nice.
I'm pulling down part-timer money at GN. I can afford mail order mattresses.
Sunday night money.
That's right.
You and me both, buddy.
Yeah, enjoy it. How are you going to earn that Sunday night money today?
We have Tim Schreiber on. Did you watch the ESPY Awards last summer?
Not the whole
thing. Eunice Shriver
got the
Arthur Ashe Courage Award. Her son Tim came up and brought down the house.
Nice.
Special Olympics, 50th anniversary in Chicago in 2 weeks at Soldier Field. He's coming on tonight at 7:15.
Oh, very nice. That'll be very exciting.
Yeah.
Are you going to give out any legal advice? Because you know during the 7 to 9 o'clock portion of the evening, that's
Well, you know, I was pre-law.
Oh, really?
Maybe it was pre-med.
Wow.
Yeah, same thing.
Sure.
Right.
Very nice. Very nice animal.
Thank you.
Pole.
I don't have any papers. Do
That's
you
right.
have
yeah.
the?
I got one.
Okay.
You want to do that? You can do it.
I can do it. Here.
You want to do it? Thanks for listening.
Thanks for being.
Good
to see you, man.
Good seeing you, Pete. I will be on with Wendy Wednesday morning. Pete McMurray coming up next. I'll talk to you.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say "Play WGN Radio" on TuneIn. Here's Roger with the news.